Look, I've been just blessed all day. I told Aaron he did a good job, you know, doing a good job. And he says, you know, it's so much easier when people have been in the presence of God all day just to take them right in, you know, again. And that's what's neat about these all-day preach-a-thons is you get to just stay in a flow and build on it all day. And, you know, one of the things ministers don't like, we don't like to have to continue a message next week. You follow me? It's like you want to get it out now. And when I got the revelation of doing these all-day sessions, it was like we can preach one subject and stay on it all day and get it all out in one day, at least, you know, a good portion, and the people can just stay in that same frame of mind the entire day and just really pack that word in and drive it home. And so we're going to keep doing these. This is our second one. We're going to keep doing these probably on about a every 2 or 3 month basis. Our next one is at the end of March. What's the date on that? Do you know? March 19th. We're doing Saturday, March 19th, all day with Pastor Bob Martin on the subject of covenant. He is getting his doctorate in divinity, and his dissertation is on covenant. And it's going to be just a great, great day. And so I want to invite you in advance to that one as well. But right now we're on the salvation of your souls. Amen. And mine's feeling better already. I mean, the word has that effect just to wash your soul. Pastor Callan told us a story years ago about a father and son. It was about the power of the word to change the way you think. And farmer had a son, and the son was starting to challenge his dad on going to church. He says, you know, Dad, I just never get anything out of church. Why do we got to keep going? And he says, well, I'll tell you what, son. You hear the word of God every week, it has an effect on you. He says, I don't feel any different. He said, well, I'll tell you what, take that basket down there. And they were digging potatoes, had these bushel baskets, and they were just covered in mud. I want you to take that basket down there to the creek and bring me back a basket of water. And the son says, a basket of water. He says, bring me a basket of water. So he goes down, dips the water in the creek, and scoops up a basket full of water, runs back to his dad, and before he gets there, it's all run out. His dad says, well, go do it again. So he gets another basket of water, gets down, dips it in, runs back to his dad, and gets back, and it's empty again. He has him do this thing 3 or 4 times, and finally the son says, Dad, I've tried this so many times, I'm not holding any of this water. He says, yeah, but what do you notice different about the basket? The son says, it's clean. You need to stay in church. Amen. There's a cleansing effect by being under the power of the word. Amen. And I'm feeling refreshed and cleansed and everything by today's messages. Hallelujah. And what I love about these is the tag team. Is because I can bring my message and then sit and be refilled by the next speaker's message. And it's like it just ignites you to go to the next level. Amen? So tonight we're going to the next level. Turn in your Bibles. Let's get started. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. And I said I was going to try to shorten my message some tonight to give Pastor Elizabeth more space. We'll see how that goes. Verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, the next verse is good as well. Do you like that one too? A man's belly shall be filled by the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life is in your tongue. But we're looking at here, it says, a brother offended is hard to be won. It's hard to get through to him. Something happens when a soul gets offended. Something takes place in a mind when it experiences disappointment. It experiences defeat. It experiences somebody undercutting them or backstabbing them. Are you following me? Taking advantage of them. Something happens. The soul is somewhat like your flesh a little bit. That when your soul is wounded, it tends to form scar tissue in that area. And become a little more or less sensitive, or you find them a little tougher. a person that gets hurt to a severe enough level a lot of times will put up shields to guard that area to keep from being hurt again. Walls of resistance. And they'll say things like, nobody's ever going to hurt me like that again. I'll never put myself in that position again. And what's going on is they're callousing their soul to resist, really putting themselves in a position of risk, but really they're limiting their soul from putting themselves in a position of loving to a deeper level. Amen. And when you let scar tissue build up in your soul, are you following me? When you let past wounds build up in your life, it limits your willingness to expose yourself again. And if you're going to be a person that's going to walk in the love of God, you will have to expose yourself. How often do you think Jesus ever exposed himself? He lived exposing himself, didn't he? And he was always walking out there and presenting the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was presenting the fullness of love outwardly all the time. And he had to be a person, if he was going to keep doing that, that he did what was necessary to minister to his soul to keep the scar tissue from building up or developing. Amen. I mean, well, they're wanting to stone you in every city you go to or throw you off a cliff. It might have an impact on your desire to go to the next city. But yet time and time again, we see him stepping out, walking in the love of God, right? And we want to be those that do what's necessary to minister to our souls to stay out of that position of limiting God's flow through our lives. Now, I'm sure Pastor Elizabeth's got some stuff she's going to talk about on that subject or in that direction tonight. In fact, what I'm going to talk about tonight primarily is about minefields or triggers of the soul that tend to set off reactions in your life. And she's going to come through later and talk about how do you get rid of them. Amen. Now, when I'm talking about minefields of the soul, you guys know what a mine is, like a military mine. You know, most military mines they're different types, but basically you bury them so they're unseen. And when some unsuspecting person comes by or a vehicle runs over these mines, depending on the type, the person steps on the mine, it triggers the mine and it explodes. And that person, you know, minefields don't have anybody's name written on them. You follow me? There's no names written on the mines. It's not a bullet sent through somebody's sights, somebody, you know, in particular. The mine goes off on whoever steps on the mine. And they're buried in a fashion you don't know they're there until you step on them, until you trigger that thing. And when you step on a mine, all of a sudden an explosion goes off that, you know, people lose limbs, they lose their life. They're maimed forever. Amen. And in people's lives, many times, their minds have been buried within them. You've had disappointments in your life. You've had situations that didn't turn out like you wanted them to. You've had people do you wrong. And whether it's through a rewiring or reprogramming of your thinking, you know, somehow your soul rewired itself to protect yourself from that again, or whether familiar spirits connected in that area. And they partner with you and says, we'll never let that happen again. I was watching an American Idol the other night. Y'all know what American Idol is, right? And I caught a piece of it. And one of the contestants comes up there and starts talking. And I said to Patty, he's demon-possessed. They have a demon-possessed contestant on there. They're talking to a devil. And this guy starts singing about, I don't know, the air flowing through his soul and all this stuff. And it was like a devil just describing himself. And of course they turned him down because he couldn't sing a lick. There are some demon-possessed people they put through because the demon could sing, but this one couldn't sing a lick. And as he's exiting, people are asking what happened, and he says this, national TV, we didn't make it. I'm telling you, isn't that right? He said, we didn't make it. Who's the we? The whole family that's inside there, amen? Now, something probably happened in that young man's life, somewhere in his life, where he invited in spirits, you follow me, to potentially even aid him in the situation he was in. And familiar spirits many times connect to people, and they lie dormant until certain triggers are touched off. And I've come to find out there's a whole lot of people in the body of Christ that are actually minefields unto themselves. In other words, somebody's talking to that person or they do something with that person, and all of a sudden the innocent bystander, the one walking along, touches that mine, and an explosion develops. Offense results, people are maimed, and people are lost out of the body of Christ. Amen. Elizabeth talked about this. When we get talking about the soul, we have to talk about the subconscious as well. And people that usually carry minefields are oblivious to them being in there. They're a minefield, they're oblivious to the minds being in there. It's buried down within them, and certain things happen, and all of a sudden they react in certain ways. Amen. You know, they don't get their way, and all of a sudden they just have a temper tantrum. Or anger or rage comes on the level, they just can't hardly stand it. What happened? Something triggered a mind. Other people, you say something to them, and all of a sudden they start crying, and it says, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I might as well go eat worms. You know, and they go into a pity party thing and just want to isolate themselves because somebody stepped on that mine. Other people, you step on, next thing you know, they're cussing you out. You know, I thought you were in the church. Well, blankety blank, what business, blankety blankety? What happened here? Now, mines, in most cases, when they go to finding mines, they use mine detectors. You know, metal detectors. And so they'll take the metal detector in the past and sweep for the mines, try to locate the mines. And once they find an individual mine, they stoop down, take a knife or whatever, and gently dig the mine out of the ground. The problem is nowadays, most mines are built out of plastic. Mine detectors don't even work. So, or, you know, some non-metallic resin or something. And so what happens is to find the mine, you virtually have to get down on your hands and knees, take your knife and probe for the knives a little bit at a time. Try to locate these things. Unless you take a bulldozer through and, you know, and scoop them up. And so when it comes to talking about minefields of the soul, if you're going to locate minds within you, you might have to do some self-examination, some self-probing. You might have to step back from yourself and say, what's going on in my life that would make me react like I just reacted? And determine, once you locate there's a mine in your life, it's not acceptable that that be there. And I'm going to do what I have to dig that thing up. And I don't want to ever blow up on anybody else again, ever again. Now again, mines can blow up on other people. They can blow up on you. Some people's triggers get hit. They don't go off on other people. They just go eat everything in the refrigerator. Spend up the credit card, everything it's worth. Are you following me? Again, go to bed and don't come out of the house for a week. Or they go hit the gin bottle, or go find some meth or something like that. What happened? Somebody stepped on something and they just can't take it anymore. And they run to their, what they thought was a relief mechanism. You know, they're blowing off the steam, but really they're exploding in a fashion that God never meant you for you to explode in. He wants you to bring these situations to Him. Submit them to Him and let Him help you in the process of being delivered from these situations. Now, what I'm talking about right now, it's potential that everybody here has been subject to these in the past to some level. Because the devil has worked overtime all of our lives trying to bury these within us. You know, we talked this morning about your mind is a digital computer. I mean, you can program it. And the enemy's been trying to program you to certain reactions all of your life. Amen. I mean, little kids will try this. Little kids, you know, don't get their way. What do? They throw a temper tantrum. And if it works, they get programmed to throw temper tantrums to get their way. That's why I believe in the bust their butt doctrine. The Philip Gerber, Pastor Philip Gerber, principle of child rearing. Amen. Amen. But what works for a person can become embedded in them, become part of the way they act, and many times it's unacceptable. And so you get, you know, you people to operate under the spirit of Jezebel. That spirit that virtually knows how to manipulate and whine or do whatever's necessary, you know, to try to get its way with someone. Well, you know what? That's a familiar spirit behind that. but that persons let themselves be reprogrammed to tolerate and utilize those systems. It worked before, I'll try it again. If I can just cry, the man will let me have what I want. Amen. If I can just pout for a while and not talk to him for 3 days, you know, he'll give in. Well, see, you've been programmed to learn that worked in the past, but it's not the Spirit of God moving in you, inspiring you to do that. Amen. And, you know, guys tend to, you know, get into intimidation and domination and, you know, rage and everything else trying to get their way. And that's not God. Amen. Can you ever see Jesus throwing a temper tantrum? Peter! Why can't you be like John? And so the enemy has spent all of your life trying to embed these things within you. And you may know that you've gone off on many people. You may have caused damage in the body of Christ. Amen. Or in the world. You may have damaged your testimony because you went off on people in the world. And you said you were a Christian. How many times have I heard that one? You know, referring to people, not towards me, of course. But they called themselves a Christian. What's going on? Somebody triggered something embedded within their soul that caused a reaction that was not godly. You know, Elizabeth brought this out this morning as well about the fight or flight syndrome or reaction, that you revert back to acting out of what's within you. And if you've embedded minds within you, when you get under pressure from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, whatever's been embedded in there, it comes out. And we want to be those that, see, me personally, I don't want this in me. I don't want the devil to have a single inkling of an area he can affect my life. And so it becomes important that we learn how to recognize these, because recognition of a mind is the first step to getting rid of it. You must experience discovery before you can go into eradication. And you got to be the one that's willing to get back, get in your prayer, you know, closet or on your prayer chair and sit back and say, and recognize what, you know, you've done wrong the last week that wasn't of God. And say, God, what inside of me would cause me to respond in that fashion? And God, what can I do to get rid of it? Because if you see yourself doing the same things repeatedly, the problem's not with other people. The Word says offenses will come. They're going to come. Somebody, you're going to step on somebody's mind. And of course, you know, when they put in minds, a lot of times they have to separate them apart a ways. Because if one goes off, they'll go off. There's a chain reaction. And you got a lot of people with minds, they get together, and the next thing you know, you got a riot. What happened here? Somebody triggered the wrong thing. So you got fights and riots and everything else. And we want to be those, you know, that are buffers in this, that we're peacemakers, instead of the ones that are going off. But it's your responsibility to unearth your own minds. People will tell you about it. What's wrong with you? Nothing. What's wrong with you? Amen. We have a philosophy in here. It came from a song I heard years ago. Been married 9 times. Maybe it's you. Man. And so, and, you know, another area with kids. The first words a kid learns are mommy, daddy, no, and mine. They got minefields being embedded in them from the very beginning. They don't want nobody touching what they think is their stuff. It's amazing in the nursery how much of the public property becomes personal when the kids get in there. All of a sudden, that's my truck. Since when? Since he got in there. Glory to God. Laid a claim to it. And you can watch him. You can watch him. You know, he'll play with the truck and hold it. And you know, or he or she hold the toy, the doll or whatever, and don't want anybody to touch it. It's mine, mine. And so they go set it down, go to play with something else. But they're like this. And as soon as one other kid goes to reach and grab it, runs over there, mine. And if the other kid gets it first, get ready for the screaming fit. Yeah, I'm mine. Well, here's something you need to understand. Adults shouldn't act like that. Amen. Kids should not have adults should not have mind feels. Amen. And so, minds become areas of sensitivity. Hair triggers within your thinking that easily set you off. Amen. And they're personalized to you. It's stuff that, you know, may trigger you, but may not trigger somebody else. And people that carry minds, a lot of times they're hair triggers. I mean, it's like they're standing right on the edge of the thing. You follow me? Both feet on it, just waiting for you to step on their toes to put just enough extra pressure to go off with that thing. And of course, the world embraces it. The world sees really nothing wrong with it. It's just the way they are. Well, it's not the way God made us. And it may be the way you used to be, but it's not the way God wants you now. God wants to deactivate these in your lives. They cause emotional explosions. Could be tears, fits, words, food fests, spending sprees, or quitting church. I could not tell you how many people come to church, now with me, and say, this is my church. You're my pastor. My, the word you're bringing, just it's delivering me. It's giving me new life. Everything's so wonderful. And, you know, this goes on for a few weeks or a few months or even some years. And all of a sudden you say the one thing that was their hair trigger, mine, activator. I just can't believe you said that. I can't believe you believe that. Well, let's see. You believe 99.973% of everything I've said in the past. And now 0.003 or whatever percent of what I said is going to run you out. But see, it was that percent that set off the hair trigger. Amen. It was the one thing that just is their sensitivity, their sensitive area. Which, let me throw something out as well. I'm getting ahead of myself. Too many Christians are walking around talking about how sensitive they are. Well, I'm just sensitive. What you're saying is you have minds in there that nobody better get close enough to set off, or otherwise they will regret it. In a marriage, the husband learns and the wife learns which areas to avoid in the spouse's life to keep from setting them off in that area. And all the spouses are going, that's right. Some of them are afraid to because it might set off their spouse. You know which areas to stay away from, amen? I know a hair trigger in my wife. I know it. I will never, ever do it again. I joke about it now and then, but I'll never, ever do it again. I will never, ever, 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 ever bite the curlicue off the top of her chocolate dip cone. Never! We're a Dairy Queen. Been married 10 years or something like that. It's been a long time. I'd never touched that trigger before. And she orders a chocolate dip cone. So, I'm on the driver's side, pay for it, I get the chocolate dip cone. I'm about to hand to it, it has a little bitty curlicue of chocolate, little bitty curlicue on top. So I did like that on top of it. Started to hand to it, and I thought she was going to go. Didn't think she went ballistic. I can't believe you did that. Devils are manifesting. I'm telling you what. I was about to perform an exorcism right there in the car. I thought, what did I do? And I found it never touched the woman's chocolate. Just don't even go there. So I've learned if she starts to get in some moods of whatever type, you know, I go buy chocolate. Just say, hey, what'd I do? I'm buying chocolate. Plus, here's chocolate. I found that if you pile enough chocolate on top of the mine when you step on it, it kind of squishes and doesn't set the thing off. But people quit the calling of God over these things embedded in them. They quit relationships God's called them to because somebody stepped on one of those sensitive areas. Amen. Or they went off on each other. These things ought not be, and they can blow members out of the body of Christ. You know what's aggravating? If I was aggravatable. Got to catch those words, I'm telling you. It's people that carry minds and won't deal with them, and they blow other people out of the church. They go off on other people and don't, you know, the other people, what's wrong with me? They don't love me in this church. They leave, and the person with the mind stays. And then they reset it. Okay, I'm ready to go off again. And they blow five or six people out of the church over a six-month period. And you're like, why are the people leaving? No, there's somebody over just blowing up on them all the time. And it's these shrapnel mines. You know, they blow up and shrapnel goes everywhere. And just whoever's around just gets hit. Maimed for life. The Bible calls them wolves. Amen. They come in just to destroy the flock. They're not wanting to change. They're not wanting God to fix them. They're wanting to fix everybody else. Did you see how it went from happy to quiet? Just like, shh, I mean, if we could mathematically graph that curve, Charles could tell me the formula right now out of his head, I'm telling you. Satan has the ability to manipulate emotions and thought. We've talked about that today. Amen? And people that have minds embedded, Satan's right there ready to just set up an entire scenario based on what just took place. Amen? And again, I don't want him having that room for operation within me. People that have minds have spent much time confessing these things in their life. You confess them in. People say things like, I just can't stand, ... You follow me? When this happens or this person says it or whatever, what'd you do? You just set a trigger. I can't stand means, when you say I can't stand, it means I'm going to go off if somebody does it. Well, it just gets my goat when this happens. Why do you have a goat? Amen. Unless you're talking about a GTO, we used to call them goats. Amen. Why do you need a goat? And why confess it into your life? Amen. Basically, you're setting yourself up to go off. We say things like, my pet peeve is. Amen. Why do you want a peeve? Why do you want to make a pet out of it? And then we say, if this happens one more time. In other words, when you say, if this happens one more time, you have already pre-planned to explode. Yeah. Are you following me? And you know it's going to happen again. There's a devil going to make sure it happens again. We have to guard every word that comes out of our mouth. And speak words that are edifying into our life versus speak these landmines into place. Amen. It really irritates me when this happens. I mean, for years I spoke, it really irritates me when people cut me off in traffic. So guess what? The devil would make sure people cut me off. And I would get irritated. Go figure that. Spoke the mind into existence myself. Amen. So now we don't speak those things anymore. We say, I'm so full of patience and love, it doesn't matter what people do in traffic. I love them. Glory to God. Our confessions have to be changed. Our attitudes have to be changed. Areas of minds people have, they come to church, well, that's my seat. That's my position. You didn't show up and now I'm going to have to do your position. That's my idea, my parking spot. Amen. People get very defensive about their feelings, their time, their friends. Wait for the pen to drop. Whatever you get defensive about guarding, you potentially are setting up a mine in that area. Because if somebody starts tampering with what is mine, there's a potential you'll be set off when it gets touched. Amen. You know, let it go. It's not worth letting the devil set these explosive charges within you for. Amen. Just let it go. Just determine that it doesn't matter what gets touched in your life. It doesn't matter who delays you or who holds you back. You're not going to let them have an impact on your life. I remember years ago I was watching a candid camera. This one they brought back candid camera, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, 20. And they had set up, you know how they would, candid camera, for those that don't know, the young people, they would set up gags and film people how they would react. And they had a convenience store where the gag was the cashier was in on it, and somebody would bring them, you know, money to pay for whatever they bought, and they wouldn't give them back any metal change. Anybody remember that one? They would give them back the bills, but wouldn't give them back the quarters and dimes and nickels and stuff. And they would tell the people that would say, "Where's my change?" They'd say, "Well, we have a new policy because it's just too time wasting to mess with change. We don't give back any change less than a dollar anymore." And then people were going off. "That is my 13 cents. You will give me my 13 cents? That's stealing. I'm calling the police." I mean, just people were going flaking out over left and right. Everybody. And then finally a gate guy came in, you know, a grown-up guy. And he gives them the money and they give him back the bills. He says, "Where's my change?" And they said, "Well, we have the new policy. We don't give back any, you know, change under a dollar anymore. It's cost-effective for us." Such as, he says, "Okay." And he walks out. The only person of the entire group that walked out. So the cameras are waiting on him out there, you know, the commentator. And they said, "We noticed inside that you didn't get upset when they kept your change. Why is it?" And he says, "I learned a long time ago not to let anybody rent any space in my head." I liked it. Why let what somebody else does set up a mind in your thinking? Why let somebody else be able to enter in and tamper with your soul, something God gave you to utilize? Why let somebody else's action have an impact on your soul? So that's why Jesus said, if they do you wrong, forgive them. Let it go. Don't harbor it, because if you harbor it, it starts to create scar tissue, and it starts to create an area there where the enemy can embed minds within you. Amen? And limit you from fulfilling the high call of God in your life. Praise you, Jesus. So a lot of it's because people get protective, they get possessive, they get the mind attitude, amen, or they get hurt, and they decide that'll never happen again. So if you're going to deactivate a mind, either you've been hit by one, or you know there's one in you, the first thing you've got to do to deactivate a mind is you've got to realize the mind doesn't belong to you. You follow me? Whatever's embedded within your soul, that's not the real you. It's something, it's a part of you that God gave you the responsibility to save, to renew, to perfect, to reprogram. So what you do is, instead of saying, "Well, that's just the way I am. You know, I'm sensitive in these areas. I just can't stand it when people do this." Say, "That's not really me. It's wrong programming. And I'm going to change it." Don't take it personal when somebody tells you there's a mind there. And don't take it personal when somebody else goes off. Recognize that's not really them. You know, I learned long ago to tolerate my wife, that when she went off, it wasn't really her. I married a sweetheart. Hopefully right now with a good sense of humor. She learned that if I'd go off, it's not really me. It was the enemy trying to tamper with our relationship. Amen. Trying to tamper with us individually. And you refuse to take these minds personally. You refuse to own up that they belong to you. You own up that you got to get rid of them. But you don't claim that as who you are. You determine, "I refuse to allow this to exist in my soul." And you start working to dig this thing up. Again, I said you got to get before God and discover them. Ask God where they're at. Amen. And then find out the word. In fact, Elizabeth's going to get into this further. Find out the word that God would give you to renew that area of your thinking where there's a trigger. By the word, that's no longer how you think. The word has power to change the programming of your mind. And wherever there's an area that you don't think right, find scripture that says the opposite. And meditate that scripture until it rewires your thinking that trigger no longer exists. Amen? You know, Elizabeth brought this one out earlier, that people go around saying, well, I'm just shy. Well, get the scripture that says I'm bold as a lion. And it'll get rid of that shy, fleeing, you know, trigger. A lot of people say, I'm shy. You know, they're faced with doing something, and all of a sudden they can't do it. They're just totally neutralized because they might have to go before a crowd to do it. My oldest daughter, when she was young, I never met a more bashful girl. I mean, it was ridiculous. Even when she got older, it was just ridiculous. I remember one time we went to a restaurant, we went to an airport, and there was a food court. And she wanted another cheeseburger or something like that. I said, well, there's the counter right next to it. Go up and get it. I said, get you a hamburger. Here's the dollar. Go give them the dollar. Get the cheeseburger. Oh, no, I can't do that. Could not go to the counter and order a hamburger. I mean, it's pathetic. She would rather starve than have to face up to the situation. Well, there's a mine in there. There's something there, that shyness there that's holding her back. But when she got full of the Holy Ghost, the mind left. Amen? And so get filled with God and confess the word in those areas. Confess boldness and watch it change who you thought you were. It'll change who you thought you were. I used to couldn't speak in front of a crowd. Couldn't do it for nothing. Couldn't say my name in front of a group without my voice cracking. It's probably where my daughter got the spirit of fear regarding people. Yet God tells me to preach. I got some decisions to make. Amen. So I start confessing that He gives me utterance. Amen. That I have grace to preach the word. Changes your life. If you come across a person that's damaged by a mind, there are steps you can take for that as well. You know, somebody went off on them. And it happens. You'll come across people that have minds exploded on them. The first step you take is recognize they've been wounded. Usually not hard, because the tears will be, you know, in the corner of their, you know, running down their cheek, or they'll want to sit in the corner of the church and isolate themselves. Betty, you know, we understand your chair. You're okay. Amen. We pick on her like this all the time. They always want to sit in the back of the church and stay away from people because they've been hurt. So what's happened? They're letting a wall be established to keep them from further hurt. Amen. Then you get, once you recognize you're wounded, then you got to stop the flow of blood. You know, you find the mind victim, stop the flow of blood. And it's usually on several people, or many times on several people if somebody's gone off. And what you do is you instruct, this was not really the person. It was not personal. You triggered something in their life that caused a reaction, and you were just standing too close when it took place. Amen. You try to neutralize the division and the strife. Amen. Bring the blood of Jesus in on the scene. Talk about forgiveness and such. Prevent shock in the person. And the one that's been wounded, the one that went off. Prevent shock. How do you do that? You pat them. You pet them on the head just long enough to get them to calm down. It'll be okay. Jesus loves you. I love you. Get them, you know, to relax, and then slap the fire at them. And use the opportunity to instruct on discovering these minds and getting rid of it. Amen? And then take the person to the place where they don't let it, they go in and try to discover where the mind is and get rid of the thing. Amen? And I tell you what, these are in the body of Christ. And they cause much damage in the body of Christ. But God's raising up a church in the end times that are going to get rid of them. A lot of people are so full of minds you can't really talk to them. We had a lady come in here a couple years ago that was so full of hurt and wounds. She'd been abused as a child and everything else. that you couldn't hold a conversation with her. She wouldn't bust out and cry and get offended, you know, that you didn't cry with her. It's usually what happens, right? And you get a person full of that many minds, it's going to take much love, much prayer, much word to get them through. But God wants us to clean up these things out of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to turn the rest of the time over here to Pastor Elizabeth. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's take just about a 5-minute break real quick.